Good morning and a good night, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Yud Gimel. We are holding on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We are three lines from the end of the page. Vatikach Miriam Hanavia Achos Aaron. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and Li'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Aleha Shalom. It is also sponsored by Daniel and Adele Dubin in memory of Maya Shaknovich Aleha Shalom, mother of Natasha Srilowitz, the Neshama Shevin Aliyah, and we thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we're continuing in the Agadita here toward the end of the first parak of Masecha Sota. This is the last full daf of the first parak of Masecha Sota, and we're going to discuss a little bit more about Miriam, and then we're going to talk about the funeral of Yaakov Avinu, of who brought him and why he was brought in, the way that he was brought in, why the funeral was delayed, and how they resolved the delay and the confrontation with Esav at the Maris HaMachpelah. And then it's going to talk about the funeral of Yosef and how Moshe Rabbeinu managed to secure the remains of Yosef and who took responsibility for the remains of Yosef throughout all the time in the Midbar and all the way into Eretz Yisrael. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about three different interpretations of the phrase Rav Lach that was told to Moshe Rabbeinu about not going into Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to have three different interpretations of why Hashem Dafka used that phrase. And then we're going to talk about the death and the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu. And why are we talking about death and burial of Yosef and of Moshe? Because that was the Mita Keneged Mita that we highlighted in the Mishnah. That because Yosef was Osek Bikvuris Yaakov, so Moshe Rabbeinu was Osek in his Kfura, because Moshe was Osek in Kfuris Yosef, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Osek in his Kfura. So this is not a tangent, this is actually directly related to the Mita Keneged Mita discussion that we've been having. So let's begin again, three lines from the end of the page, on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. So says the Pasuk, Vatikach Miriam and Nevia Achos Aaron. So it says that Miriam and Nevia, after Kriyas Yamsuf and after the Az Yosef, she took as hatov biyadav vateitzena kol anashim achareha betupim uvemecholos. So here we are the day before Az Yashir, and we're reading about Miriam, the shira that Miriam and Avia led the women in, and she took all of the instruments. But the Gemara says it's just strange the way we introduce her at the beginning of the shira. We call her Miriam and Avia Achos Aaron, the sister of Aaron. I'm sure some people knew her as the Achos Aaron, but she was probably more well known as Achos Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was like a melech. He led Klal Yisrael. Achos Aaron v'lo Achos Moshe. Why would it call her that way? So Amram says that of Amri La, it's interesting, Amram is the name of the Amora that answers the question. Amri La, Amram Nachman, Amarav, Melame Chaisa Misnabe Kishi Achos Aaron. It teaches us that she was Misnabe when she was the Achos Aaron, meaning her Nevuah happened. She had already become a Nevuah before Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And that's why we're highlighting that even when her only sibling was Aaron, she was already a Nevi'ah, the Omeris, and she said, as a little girl, Asidi imi sheteli ben shemoshia es Yisrael, that my mother is going to have a child, a son who is going to be the savior of the Jewish people. So why does it wait till now to be merames to that? So the Marsha points out, because after Kriyas Yamsuf, we finally see that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Moshiach in Shal Yisrael. So you see that was the vindication of her nevuah, and that's why he's the one that started the shira. Oz Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael. So she was the one that was misnave about that Yeshua that finally came to fruition at Kriyas Yamsuf. So now at Kriyas Yamsuf, the pasuk is highlighting that was a nevuah that happened long ago. So she said that nevuah as a little girl, and then what happened? V'kivin shenol and Moshe nismale abayis kula or. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the whole house filled with light. Amad avia nushaka al rosha. So her father got up and kissed her on her head. Amarla biti niskayma nevuah seich. He said, your nevuah has been fulfilled, even though it hadn't yet been fulfilled. They didn't have a geula yet. They weren't out of Mitzrayim yet. They just had a baby. So how can you say niskayma nevuah seich? So the Achronim explained, Ben Yoyad explains, based on the Ramban. The Ramban writes that any nevuah that has a poel dimyon that accompanies the nevuah. There's some sort of physical representation that accompanies the nevuah, like the maisa that a maisa happens that reflects the nevuah. That nevuah is not going to be nispatel, and if it's a nevuah l'tova, you're not going to be subject to shami yigro machet. That even if people do averos, that nevuah is still going to be in effect. And if it's a nevuah l'ra'a, no zuchus will help to be mevatel that nevuah. So over here also, Moshe Rabbeinu was born in Ismaili Abayis Ora. That was a poel dimyon. That was something physical in the physical world that represented that the nevuah was going to be fulfilled. So says the Ben Yoyada, that was therefore a guarantee that it wasn't subject to change. That now we know, you could take it to the bank, that nevuah is going to be fulfilled. That's where Rav Shachter often explains the simanim that we do on Rosh Hashanah. Right? What do? We eat all these strange foods and we say, oh, we eat a rimon, yir b'zechuyah sacha k'rimon, that I should have as many zechuyahs like a rimon. You want to have many zechuyahs like a rimon? Do mitzvahs, right? What does it have to eat, eating with the, what does eating a rimon have to do? Yitamu sonenu. We eat a tamar and yitamu sonenu. How's that going to help? So it's a tefillah. The whole point of the eating all those simanim is not the eating. It's the tefillah that we say associated with it. So why do we also eat? Why do we also have the peros there? Because just like a nevuah with a poel dimyon is a stronger nevuah, it could be that a tefillah with a poel dimyon is also a stronger form of tefillah. So we do a tefillah with props. We do a tefillah with those simanim that the tefillah should be fulfilled to make it, that it should be a stronger form of tefillah. So anyway, so at that point, Amram said, "Is that her father said to her that your nevuah has been fulfilled? The kibun sheitiluli ar." But then they took the baby and they had to throw Moshe Rabbeinu, like we learned about yesterday, into the ar. Amar avia utfacha al rosha. So her father went and tapped her on her head as if to say, she didn't do such a good job. Amar labiti heicha nevuah seich, and he said, "Where's your nevuah now?" V'ha'inu d'chsiv v'teisatzav achos mirochok l'deya ma'yei alseh lo. What does it mean? She was interested to see what would happen to him because she wanted to see how her nevuah was going to play out. She was confident that the nevuah was going to play out. She didn't know how yet, so she wanted to see how exactly it was going to play out. The truth is, if you read this story, it makes it sound like that her father was so fickle that he went, I'm happy today, not happy tomorrow. Did he believe the nevuah? Did he not believe the nevuah? Meaning, it goes back and forth. So that's what the Marsha writes, that even though it was already Nisame, the nevuah, when the bias was filled kulo ar, but when it was shlichu liar, he had yeish from it. But then the Marsha quotes another girsa, and it's a girsa that's quoted in the Medrash Rabbah and Shmos Rabbah, that the girsa is she'ima tavcha al rosha, not that the father, but that her mother was tavcha al rosha. And he explains that she never told her nevuah to her mother; she only revealed her nevuah to the father in order to convince him to remarry her mother. And once, but she did, she wasn't given the tzivoy to go and reveal the nevuah, so she never revealed it to the mother. So the mother was saying, "Oh, daddy told me about where is it now? What happened to your big grand plans now?" But it wasn't the father. When it was Nismali by Skuli Ora Ra'avia that her nevuah was MS, even though she was only 5 years old. But when the baby was thrown into the Or, into the box in the Or, so the mother, who was unaware of the nevuah, was Tavcha al Rosha. So some of the Achorim ask on the Marsha, but it says, it sounds like the mother, whoever was Tavchal Rosha, knew about the Nevuah. Okay, but that's how the Marsha quotes a different Girsa. So anyway, Yosef Zocha, the Mishnah had said that Yosef was Zocha to bury his father, and he was the most prominent of his brothers, because Vayal Yosef Lukbar as Aviv, Vayal Imo Gamrecha V'gam Prashim. So the Gemara explains the Kavur of Yaakov Avinu, how it played out. So Maishna Me Ikara, why initially when they went to bury Yaakov, Dichsiv Vayal Yosef Lukbar as Aviv, Vayalu Ito Kol Avdei Paro, that together with Yosef went the Avdei Paro, V'hadar, and only afterwards V'chol Beis Yosef Echov V'Veis Aviv. Then the family went afterwards. So it was like a state funeral where all the Avdei Paro went first, and then the family went afterwards. But then afterwards it says, Vayashav Yosef Mitzrayimah Who ve'achav, that on the return trip to Mitzrayim, it was Yosef and the rest of the family. V'hadar, and then only afterwards, v'kala olamito likbaris aviv. The Abdei Paro, all the people that went with them, it doesn't identify specifically the Abdei Paro, but that's who went with them, so it's obviously referring to the Abdei Paro. So why does it change the order? Do the brothers come first, or do the Abdei Paro come first? And on the way there, the Abdei Paro went first. On the way back, the brothers went first. Sam Rabbi Yochanan b'tchila ad shelo ro'u b'kvodin shel Yisrael. When they went to bury him, they had not yet seen the kavod that the other nations were knowing toward Klal Yisrael. So lo nahugu bahen kavod. So the Abdei Paro were not knowing kavod toward the brothers of Yosef. Ul basof. But then, by the time they were returning from the kavur of Yaakov, sharo'u b'kvodan, they saw the great honor that was accorded by everybody else to the brothers. Nahugu ben kavod. They also were knowing kavod, and they were makdim the brothers to themselves. It says in Maseches Brachos that ain mechabdin bedrachim, that you're not supposed to be mechabed on a road. When you're traveling, there's no kibbutz in telling someone to go first. Like, you know, you see if there are any landmines before I. It's not a kavod to have someone go first on the road. So Tosas in Maseches Brachos Daf Mem Vav asked the question that over here in our Gemara it sounds like it is a kavod that they're mechabed the Achi Yosef to go first on the way back. So it is a kavod bedrachim. So Tosas explains ain mechabdin bedrachim is only if you meet someone ba'akra'i. You happen to run into somebody, so someone's got to go first. But when you're going and traveling together on a long journey, so then there is kavod bedrachim. And this was traveling together for some time, and that is considered to be a form of kavod that you're allowed to show even on the road. D'chsiv vayavo at Gorin HaAtad, it says that they arrived at Gorin HaAtad. V'chi Gorin Yeshlo Atad. An Atad is a type of a thorn bush. You don't have a Gorin, you don't have a silo. There's nothing edible that you're going to pull out of a thorn bush. You have a gorin of chitim and of grain that's edible. You don't have a gorin of an atad. Some Rabbi Avo Malamit Shikifu Ksarim LaAron Shal Yaakov. It teaches us that they put their crowns around the Aron of Yaakov. Kigorin Zeh Shemakif Lo Atad. Just like a gorin where you would make a fence around it to protect it. So they made this fence of crowns surrounding Yaakov's Aron. Shabo Bnei Esav Bnei Shoam Bnei Ketu. Because the Bnei Esav, Bnei Shoam, Bnei Keturah all came to the Levaya. You know, all the cousins from out of town showed up to Yaakov's Levaya. They hadn't seen them in a while. And all the kings of those places took their crowns and put it by the Aron of Yaakov. And that's why it's called Gorin HaAtad. So the Gemara brings a brisa that explains why they came. So Tana Kulam L'Melchava Ba'u. They came initially, the Bnei Esav, Bnei Shoam, Bnei Keturah, to make a war. Kivin Sharo, Kisro Shel Yosef, once they saw that Yosef's crown was on the Aron of Yaakov, Natul Kulan Kisrehem, they all took their crowns, Utalim Baron Shal Yaakov, and they put them around the Aron of Yaakov. That Nafla Ateres Roshenu is the symbolism, Marsha says, that a way of saying Nafla Ateres Roshenu. If you happen to have a crown, they put it on the Aron. The Iun Yaakov points out that the reason that they were Nichna, that they humbled themselves in front of Yosef, is because he gave them food. He's the one that supported that ensured their survival through all the years of famine. So they owed it to him to be nichna lefanav, that if he takes off his crown, they're going to take off their crown. So Tana Shloshim Shishuksarim Nitlu Baron Shal Yaakov. There were 36 crowns in total around the Aron of Yaakov, and the Iyun Yaakov writes that that's a remez as well. 36, of course, is Pa'maim Chai, that he was someone who was Chai Ba'olam Hazeh, and he's Chai Ba'olam Haba, that he gets two lifetimes. He gets a lifetime in Olam Hazeh, and then he gets a forever lifetime in Olam Haba. So they had Pa'maim Chai crowns around the Aron of Yaakov. And they had a very large and heavy misbeid. So Tana Afilu Susim Afilu Chamorim. What does it mean? Heavy? It means that even the Susim Chamorim were Noeg Avelus on Yaakov Avinu. What on earth does that mean? That the Susim v'Chamorim were Noeg Avelus. So the Marsha says horses can't, you know, that doesn't happen. Horses don't talk and they don't have avelus. No, what it means is that they dressed up the horses in black also. That they had the whole that everybody, everything covered in black is a sign of avelus. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, however, says that no, it means that the horses and the chamorim were braying and neighing and wailing, and maybe Chazal darshan this, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden from a Gezer Shava, because it says kaved ma'od, and it says by Yitzias Mitzrayim that they went with mikne kaved ma'od. So kaved ma'od relates to balei chayim. So you see that must be the basis of the drasha, that it's afilu susim, afilu chamorim, because it calls it a misbeid kaved. Where do we find that lashon? The Yun Yaakov explains that they were misabel because they also felt the loss of Yaakov, because as soon as Yaakov got to Mitzrayim, the famine ended. So as soon as the famine ended, they realized that their lives changed on account of Yaakov Avinu. So they felt the loss of Yaakov as well. So kivin shegil maris hamechpela, once those who were accompanying the Aron of Yaakov Avinu arrived at maris hamechpela, also Esav showed up in Kama Akev, and he tried to prevent them from burying Yaakov. So Amalan, Esav said to the Bnei Yaakov, Mamre Kiryas Arba hi Chevron, Va'am Rabbi Yitzchak, and Rabbi Yitzchak explains, Kiryas Arba means Arba Zugo saw you, that there are four couples that are buried there. Adam Chava, Avram Vesara, Yitzchak Rivka, Yaakov Aleya. So apparently there were only eight burial plots in Ma'ariz HaMechpelah. So Esav's taina was that once Yitzchak and Rivka are buried there, there are two left, and both I and my brother Yarshin, the two that remain. And he already used one. Iukvar Aleya Bididei. He buried Leah in his own chelek, in his own, meaning of the two that are left, one was for me, one was for Yaakov. He buried his wife in one of them. And therefore the one that remains belongs to me, Esav, and does not belong to Yaakov. The Achronim point out that it would turn out that Esav was tithing that he deserves to be buried next to Leah. That he, I mean, they were all couples, and he was saying that he belongs with Leah. So that's based on what the Zohar Kadosh says, that Leah was the original match for Esav. She was supposed to be Bechelko Shel Esav. The Gemara says that in Masechta Bava Basra, that that's what everyone used to assume. That everyone used to assume, oh, Lavan has two daughters, and Rivka has two sons. So Mestama, you know, the older one's going to marry the older one, the younger one's going to marry, and that's why Enei Leah Rakos, because everyone was saying that. So Esav was saying, okay, it didn't work out in Olam Hazeh this way, but let it work out in Olam Haba that way. So he was being Nosenein of B'mashein Shalom. This goes back to what we discussed in Daf Tes, that anyone who's Nosenein of B'mashein Shalom, not only do you not get what you desire, you lose what you have, and that's how it worked out for Esav over here also. Not only did he not get that last burial plot, but he lost his life at this moment. So Amrulei Zabinta, so the Bnei Yaakov told Esav, I'm sorry, there was a deal over here. We bought your plot from you. Remember when you sold the Bechora, Samaluhu, Esav says, that's not my recollection of the deal. Nihita Zabini Bechurusa Pshutusa Mizvini. I sold my right to have an extra chelek, my chelek HaBechor, but I'm still a son, so I should still get the same Yerusha that Yaakov has. So if Yaakov has one of the places of Kvura, I should get the other kever. So Amrulay in, they said, no, you sold the whole thing. You sold even your right as a pashut to chsiv, because the pasuk says when Yosef sent to Paro to say that his father had told him, "Bikivrei asher karisi li." It was the kever that karisi li. What is karisi li? From Rabbi Yochum Shem Rabbi Shem Ben Yotzadok, ein kira el lashon mechira. Kira is lashon mechira. It was the kever that I bought. There was a sale. So Shekein B'Krachei Ayam Korin L'Mechira Kira, because in Krachei Ayam in the cities that are Me'ever L'Yam, they call the Mechira Akira. So that's what Yaakov was telling, that's what they were telling Paro. So Amaluhu, so Esav said, Havali Garta, you Taina that I sold my Chela Kapashut, I want to see the Shtar. Bring me the shtar that it says that. Bring me the deed. So Amalei, Igarta Bar de Mitzrayim. So they said, the deed is back in Mitzrayim. We weren't anticipating that you would come and make us think about this. So Man Nezel, so who's going to go bring it? Nezel Naftali, de Kalil Ki Ayalta. We'll send Naftali because he runs really fast. He knows how to travel very quickly. So he'll be the quickest to get back and forth. Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says in the Bracha that Yaakov Avinu gave Naftali, Naftali Ayala Shlucha, Hanos in Imre Shefer. So Amrabival, Altikri Imre Shefer, El Le Imre Sefer, that he was the one that was going to bring the Imre Sefer. He was going to bring the Shtar back, and that's when his speed was going to come in handy. In the Arachama, the Sefer Arachama, he raises a number of very obvious and important questions. He says, why is he called that? In the end of the day, they didn't really need his speed. We're about to see the end of the story. It was not that Naphtali came back panting, ah, finally got it, here you go. And then Esav says, okay, fine. And then he walked away. That's not how the story plays out. So it turns out Naphtali's speed was useless. Furthermore, why was he misnavi this about Yaakov? Why was Yaakov misnavi this about him if it was going to be useless? Meaning, it's not just that it was useless, it's that Yaakov's Nevuah was there for you. If this was what the Nevuah was all about, was that Naphtali was going to be the one, he's going to save the day, he's going to bring the Shtar. It's not the way it worked out. So the whole Nevuah is off. And furthermore, you know, when do you need the deed to the Ma'aris HaMachpelah? You need it once. You need it when you're going to bury Yaakov. It's the one time you need the actual Shtar. And they forgot it in Mitzrayim. That's when they chose not to remember it. They forgot it. The one thing you need to pack on that trip was the deed to Ma'aris HaMachpelah. How could it be that they didn't bring the deed to Ma'aris HaMachpelah? So in the Sefer Arachami, he suggests that the purpose of here was to be Mekayim the Nevuah of Rivka, of Lo Me'eshkol Gam Shneicham Yom Echad, that she's going to lose both of her sons on the same day. And if the Shtar was with them, Esav would not have gotten killed. And if Naphtali wasn't a fast runner, then they would not have been Ma'akev the Kvura, because they wouldn't have had anybody to go back and forth. They just would have paid Esav off more money and bought it again at that point. The only way, now that Naphtali was fast, they figured they could delay the Kvura a bit by having Naphtali run. And because of that, Chushim got agitated, and Esav ended up dying, and that was a fulfillment of the Nevuah of Rivka. So it was only because of Naphtali's speed that all of that happened. So everything had to work out, that they forgot the deed, and then Naphtali was fast. That was the only way to fulfill the Nevuah of Rivka Imenu. That's what he suggests in the Arachama. So anyway, the end of the story is, Chushim Berei Didon Taman Hava, Chushim the son of Dun was there, the Akiran Le'udne, and he was hard of hearing, Samaluhu, my high. So he saw they weren't proceeding with the Levaya. So he said, what's going on over here? So Vamulei, the other Bnei Yaakov, said, Kama Akevai, this fellow, our uncle, is causing us all sorts of tzaras. He's delaying the Kvura. Adasi Naphtali Me'arad Mitzrayim, until Naphtali can return from Mitzrayim and bring the deed and show that Yaakov is rightfully the one to be buried over here. So Amalahu, so Chushim said, Va'adasi Naphtali Me'arad Mitzrayim, Ye'avi Abba Mutal B'Bizayon. Wait, and until Naphtali comes back from Mitzrayim, we're just going to leave my grandfather's body out over here like this? It's Mutal B'Bizayon. So Shakal Kulfa, he took a stick, Machia Reisha, he struck Esav on the head, and Nasran Enei V'Naflu Akarad Yaakov, and Esav's eyes popped out and landed on Yaakov's feet. Paschinu Yaakov La'Enei V'Achich, and at that point it got a little creepy. Yaakov's eyes opened up, and he smiled. He was dead already. V'Hainu D'Chsiv Yismach Tzadik, Yaakov Vinu Lomeis, but on some level he was dead. So V'Hainu D'Chsiv Yismach Tzadik Ki Chaza Nakam Pa'am of Yirchatz Bidama Rasha. That Yaakov the Tzadik was able to rejoice because he saw the Nakama on Esav, against Esav, and his feet were washed with the blood of the Rasha, because Esav's eyes fell on his feet. Bosashon Niskayim Nevuah Shel Rivka, and that's when the Nevuah of Rivka was fulfilled. D'Chsiv, because the Pasuk says that Rivka said to Yaakov, Loma Eshkal Gam Shneichem Yom Echad. Why should it be that I'm going to lose both of you on one day? So that's why she asked Yaakov to run away from Esav. V'Aval Gavdim Yisasun Lo B'Yom Echad Havai, even though the death of Yaakov and the death of Esav was not on the same day, because Yaakov had died earlier when he was still in Mitzrayim, Kvurasun Mi'a B'Yom Echad Havai. But nevertheless, their kavura was on one day, and in that sense, it was a fulfillment of the Nevuah. In the Eina Yitzchak, he points out that Chushim, you know, why was Chushim more moved by Yaakov's Bizayon than anybody else was by Yaakov's Bizayon? So there's the famous answer, what became the famous answer, where Chaim Shmulevitz has a Musar Shmuz about that, where Chaim Shmulevitz says, everybody else, you know, it unfolded slowly. So as things unfold slowly, you're misragel, you get used to the way things are. Like, you keep moving the needle over a little bit, it's like, oh, this is the new normal, now this is so everything is just a slight variance from the normal. But for Chushim, he didn't hear the whole conversation. conversation, the whole back and forth, all this and then that. It was just at one moment, it was like that this guy is trying to stop Yaakov's burial. So, and he realized, that's crazy. Where are we that this is happening, that this is okay, that we can allow this to happen? And a person who's never nisragel in something, who doesn't allow things to creep in slowly, will see it for what it is. He'll see how crazy it is all at one time. And that's obviously applicable in many areas of life, right? In almost anything that we could use a little chizik in, whether it be in terms of how much Talmud Torah we do and how much Chesed we do and how much Avas Yisrael we have and our relationship to money and whatever to Gashmius. Slowly the needle moves, and that's normal now, and that's normal now, and that's normal. And then you say, Ribbono Shelolam, where are we that this is the way Klal Yisrael behaves? So Chushim was never sensitized was never desensitized, and therefore at a moment he was able to pick up. That's how Reb Chaim Shmulevitz famously says. In the Ein Yitzchak he says different. He says Esav was a sweet talker. Esav was an ish tzayid, ki tzayid b'piv. He knew how to make everything sound like he was a tzaddik. He asked how to take maestros on shumas and maestros on salt, and he convinced everyone that everything was l'shem shemayim. And if you can hear him, you'd be taken by him. But if you don't hear him, if you're deaf like Chushim was, and you don't get to hear his sweet talking, and you just actually get a bird's eye view of what he's doing, you see that it's crazy what he's doing, that it's terrible what he's doing. So Chushim was able to react in that way. Now the Yerushalmi in Maseches Ksuba says that there's a Mesorah among the Bnei Esav that Yehuda was the one that killed Esav. So it could be, says the Tosfos Shantz, that they both killed him, that it was a team effort of Chushim and Yehuda. Tosfos in Gittin Daf Nun Hei says that Chushim didn't kill him, Chushim knocked his eyes out, and then Yehuda finished the job. Yehuda then killed Esav after Chushim knocked his eyes out onto Yaakov's legs. So okay, so the Gemara explains, why is it that only Yosef was involved in the kavura of his father? If Yosef would not have been misasik in the kavura, would the brothers had refrained from burying Yaakov? So all of them were osek in carrying the mita. So certainly the Ola kavura itself, they should have accepted it as well. I mean, it shouldn't be Yosef sitting there digging the whole time. The brothers also, they helped schlep him there. They should have helped with the burial. So Amru, they said, Hanichlo kvodu b'malachim Yosef mibehedyotos, that the cover of Yaakov of Avinu would be greater if the kavura happens with a melech than with a hedyot. So as much as we would love the opportunity and the zechus to bury our own father, we realize that for his own kavod, it's a greater kavod for him to be buried by a melech than it is for him to be buried by a hedyot. Mikan, that who does the kavura actually matters, meaning that whether, you know, a lot of times at a cemetery, you're thinking like, you have a bunch of out-of-shape Jewish guys that are digging, and it's 6 feet of dirt. It's a lot of dirt. So first, obviously you don't want anyone to have a heart attack, you don't want anyone to do anything dangerous, and you know, so certainly that's true, but at some point, like, you think like, oh, just bring the machine and, like, you know, finish it up. Let somebody else do it. So at least the initial kavura, you see that it makes a difference. That if it's kavura al yaday mishpachto, al yaday bnei Yisrael, that it matters. That's a greater kavod. It's a greater kavod for the mace. Milanu gadol mi Yosef. So who is greater than Yosef? That Moshe Rabbeinu himself was osek in his kavura. So Tanu Rabbanu Borei kamach chavivus mitzvos al Moshe Rabbeinu. Now look how beloved the mitzvos were to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shekol Yisrael kula nisasku. Biza. Everyone else was busy going and getting the money, the Bizas Mitzrayim. V'hun esasik b'mitzvos, and Moshe Rabbeinu was running after mitzvos to go gather the Atzmos Yosef. Shenemar chacham lev yikach mitzvos. That's what the pasuk says. Chacham lev yikach mitzvos. It says mitzvos b'lashon rabim, the Ben Yoyada points out, because it wasn't only the mitzvah of kavura, of the kavuras Yosef that he was doing, it was also the mitzvah of the kiyum of a shavua, that they made a shavua to him, that they're going to be malehim eretz Mitzrayim, teretz Yisrael. So it was multiple mitzvos in one act. So that's why it's called mitzvos in the plural over here. That Moshe Rabbeinu, he wasn't interested in chasing after the money at that point. He was interested in chasing after more mitzvos. That's what the pasuk says. Oiv kesef lo yispa kesef. Rashi writes, oiv mitzvos lo yispa mitzvos. That a lot of times we use kesef, we use money as a mushel to mitzvos, because money is something that people always want more of. They never think they have enough of. So that's something that should be our attitude toward mitzvos. That we should never be satisfied with the level of mitzvos that we have. So, minayin yodeh Moshe Rabbeinu eichan Yosef kaver? How did Moshe Rabbeinu find him? How did he know where Yosef is buried? So, Amru Serach Bas Asher Nishtaira Me'osa Adar. Serach Bas Asher was still alive, and she was in the door of the Yordi Mitzrayim. Halach Moshe Etzla. So, Moshe Rabbeinu went to the wise old lady, and Amar La, Klumat Yodas, Heichan Yosef kaver? Do you remember where Yosef is buried? So, Amar La, she said, Oren Shal Matach Sasula Mitzrim. I remember his Levaya. I remember that the Mitzrim made him a metal aron, ukva'u benilas anar, and they put it in the Nile River. Kadesh is baruch meimav, and they thought that the zechus of having the tzaddik in the Nile River is going to cause the waters in the Nile to be blessed. So halach Moshe v'amid al sfas nilus. Moshe Rabbeinu stood by the river bank. Amar lo Yosef Yosef, and he started talking, and he said Yosef Yosef, higia eish nishma kodesh baruch hu shani goel eschem. That it came the time where kodesh baruch hu's shavua to redeem Klal Yisrael is about to happen. V'higia shavua sheshbata Israel, and therefore the Shavua that you made your brothers take to take your bones out of Mitzrayim has arrived as well. The time for that Shavua has arrived as well. Imatamara atzmecha mutav. If you're going to reveal where you are, then great. Imlav hareyanu menukum mishvoscha. But if not, then we don't have a responsibility to fulfill that shavua, because we could only fulfill that shavua if we know where you are. Miyat safar aron shel Yosef, and right away the aron of Yosef started floating on the surface of the Nahar. Val tatame hech barzel tzav. And you may be wondering, that's against nature. How could barzel float on the water? Barzel is very heavy. It should sink. Really? Would you have wondered that? I mean, the whole thing is against it. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. The whole Eser Makos and the Kriyas Yamsuf. The Gemara said, oh, you might be wondering, how about the fact that he's talking to a dead person and the Aron just floats up? I mean, the whole thing is against nature. So the Marsha writes, even though Moshe Rabbeinu did many Nisim, but that was all the Tzivoy Hashem. But we don't find a Tzivoy for Barzel to be floating. So the Gemara says that even that's why the Gemara is going to answer, that we find elsewhere, that even through the Ma'asim of Elisha, Barzel was able to float, because Ratzon Yirei of Yasa, Kodesh Baruch Hu fulfills the Ratzon of those who fear him. So not only is it, do miracles happen when it's B'tzivoy Hashem, that sometimes when a tzaddik needs something, also it will happen. The Ben Yoyada says a little differently, that even though there was a need for a nes, that the Arun would float on the Mayim, but it didn't need to continue to float there until Moshe Rabbeinu took it. It could have floated up in that spot and then landed right back down, and then Moshe Rabbeinu would have had to go and fetch it. So saying that, why did this unnecessary part of the miracle happen? Just to make Moshe's life a little bit easier, because Moshe Rabbeinu was deserving of such things, as the Gemara is about to say, Sharik Siv, because the Pasuk says by the Talmidim of Elisha Hanavi, that chopped wood from the Yarden to their base Medrash, Vayi Echad Mapil Akora Vesabarzel Nafal El Hamayim, that the barzel fell into the water, and the Pasuk says Vayitzak Vayomer, he says, Aha Aduni, Vahu Shaul. He says, I lost my axe, and my axe was borrowed. It doesn't even belong to me. What am I supposed to do? So Vayomer Yishalukim on a Nafal. So the Yishalukim said, where did it fall? Vayareu Esamakam. They showed him the place where it fell. Vayikzav Eitz Vayashlach Shama. He took a piece of wood, he threw it there. Vayatzav Barzel. And the barzel floated up. So Valodvarm Kalvachomer. Uma Elisha Talmid Shal Eliyahu Veliyo Talmid Shal Moshe. If Elisha was the Talmud of Eliyahu, and Eliyahu was the Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, Saf Barzel Nipana, for the Talmud's Talmud, iron was going to float. So Moshe Rabbeinu Lachs Kamav Kama, for the Rebbe, for sure. So for Moshe Rabbeinu, of course Barzel was going to float. Rabbi Nassim says, no, the whole story of where Yosef was is incorrect. Not that he was in the Nile. That's not where he was. Bekabarnit Shal Malachim Ayukavur. He was in one of the crypts where they keep the Egyptian kings, because he was Egyptian royalty. Halach Moshe Vamedal Kabarnit Shal Malachim. Moshe Rabbeinu stood by the opening opening of a crypt. And Amar Yosef, Higia Ish and Ishbar Kodesh Baruch Shani Golaschem Vigia Shvush Ishbat Es Yisrael. The time of to pay to, for the delivery of all those Shavuos is now. Imatamara Atzmachamutav. So if you're going to show me where you are, wonderful. Vimlav Harayan Menukum Shvuascha. But otherwise, we are Menuka. We're clean of any responsibility. Bos Hashan is Daz Aron Shal Yosef. So Yosef's Aron started to shake. Netala Moshe Viviu Etzel. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew which one was his, and he took it. V'kolos Nshonim Shayisol B'Midbar. Now, whichever version you have of how Moshe Rabbeinu found the Aron, whether it was in the Nile or in the crypt, but the story continues that throughout their travels in the Midbar, the placement of Yosef's Aron was right near the Aron of the Shechina, even though the other Shvatim's bones remains were also taken, but they were not in the Machna Shechina, because Yosef was Moshe Rabbeinu's responsibility, so he was in the Machna Levia, which was right next to the Machna Shechina. So there was this strange juxtaposition of a coffin with the aron. So, anyone who saw Klal Yisrael traveling would say, "Mativan shel shnei aronos halalu." What's the story with the two aronos? So, Amru echad shel meis ve'echad shel shechina. And they said, "Well, one belongs to a meis, and one belongs to the shechina." The achronim work on why would we mention the one of the meis first and then the shechina? So, it could be it's chronological because the shel meis they had first, and then the aron shel shechina came later. It could be that it's size that. The Aron of a mace is Dalet Amos. The Aron of the Shechina was not Dalet Amos. Okay, so one of them was mace, one of them was Shechina. Then everyone would ask the obvious question, is that appropriate that a mace is traveling with the Shechina? So Amru Klal Yisrael would answer, that the person in this aron fulfilled everything that it says in the other aron, meaning all aseres hadibros. Ben Yoyada points out Chazal of such a way of speaking. What were the two of the aseres hadibros that you would question whether Yosef was mekayim? So there was Lo Sinath, the seventh of the aseres hadibros, which because of Eishes Potiphar, and he didn't go with Eishes Potiphar. He managed to avoid Lot enough, and also the fifth Dibur of Kabeda Savicha, because he was away from his father all that time, and now and was Demusti Yukno Shalaviv that saved him from that. So says Ben Yoyada, the seventh is Zayin, the fifth is Hey, Kiyem Zeh, Mashakasa Bazeh, that Yosef was Mekayim, the seventh and the fifth Dibur. So that's the melitza that Chazal used with the word zeh. So the mission went on to say, that Milanu Gadol Miyosef, that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in his kvura, because it says Veikach Moshe Satzmos Yosef Imo. So it says more Vilo Asik Bei Moshe, and if Moshe Rabbeinu would not have been involved in the kvura of Yosef, Yisrael Lov Musaski Bei, would not the rest of Klal Yisrael taken care of it? Faksiv, the pasuk says after Moshe Rabbeinu died, Vesatzmos Yosef Asher Halu Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim Kavru Bishchem. So you see, the Bnei Yisrael were also being Mekayim the Shavua, and they were also sick in the Kavura. So why, up until the time they entered Yisrael, was Moshe Rabbeinu the only one involved? Vesu. And furthermore, why were Bnei Yisrael involved? Yosef had children. Yilo Askubei, Yisrael, Banav Lavim is Askubei. If the rest of Klal Yisrael wasn't involved with Yosef's burial, wouldn't the other members of, wouldn't his own children have been involved? Vaksiv, Ayul Bnei Yosef, L'Nachla. So they buried Yosef in their Nachla. Why is it that they left that they allowed the rest of Klal Yisrael and they didn't do it themselves? So answer the Gemara on the second question: Amru Hanichalo Kvodo B'Merubim Yachsam B'Muatim. We're small in number. To have more people involved is a greater kavod than to have fewer people involved. The Sioux. And as far as the first question is concerned, why they allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to take care of it? Amru Hanichalo Kvodo B'Gedolim Yachsam B'Ketanim. Everyone was saying at that time it's a greater kavod to have Moshe Rabbeinu involved more so than the rest of Klal Yisrael. So it was all about having the people involved who would be the greatest kavod to Yosef. Pasuk says kavru b'shchem. So maishna b'shchem. Why did they bury him in Shchem? Amr b'chem r'b'chanina mishchem gnavuhu. That's where they sold him to the Yishma'elim in Shchem. Pasuk says when Yaakov sent Yosef to see Shlom Achiv, it says v'yishalcheu me'emek chevron v'yovel shchema. So they were in Shchem. U'l'shchem nachzir avedasa. And therefore the aveda is returned back to Shchem. kashu kraya adadi, but we have a stir in the psukim. Ksiva yikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo, uksiva es atzmos Yosef asher helu b'nei Yisrael from Mitzrayim. So I'm Rabbi Chaim, Rabbi Chanina, kalos adavra v'lo gemaru ba'achar gemaru ma'alav kasaval shegemaru kilu asa'o. That if one person starts something but doesn't finish it and the other person finishes it, we treat the person who finished it as if he did the entire thing. So since Moshe Rabbeinu didn't finish the job, we describe it as it being something that's Klal Yisrael. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where someone asked him about someone who started a shidduch but didn't finish the job. He came up with the idea but didn't finish the job. So do you say that maybe he doesn't get any shadchanus because he didn't do the job? The job is to bring it to fruition. So it's always called al shem gamro. But he points out that when it comes to paying a poel, it doesn't work that way. A shadchan is a poel. When you pay a poel, you pay a poel for the work that they did, even if they don't manage to bring it to the end. That's a question, though, what the structure of shadchan's payment is. Meaning, do you pay a shadchan even if it just doesn't work out? They went on a date or two and it didn't work out. So that you have to go with what the standard is and what the expected payment is. And as always, everything should be up front. Everything what the rate are, and all that should be dealt with up front. But anyway, so Rabbi Lazar says that not only is a mitzvah not called al shemo of the person who started it, but not only that, af morid noso migdulaso tiksiva yibi ve'isahi Vayered Yehuda, that Yehuda, because he only started in the Hatzalah of Yosef, he ultimately lost his Gedula. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar, Af Kover Ishto Ubanav, he's even going to suffer Nebuch the loss of his wife and his children. Duxiv, Atamas Bashua, Ishus Yehuda, Uxiv, Ayamas, Erva Onan. So Yehuda lost his wife and he lost Erva Onan because he didn't finish the job. The Maral writes that an Isha Ubanim are Hashlamas HaAdam, they make a person complete. So a person doesn't do a complete job, loses his own sense of completion. Amr Vidam Rav, Neimanikra Yosef Atzamos Bechayev. Why is Yosef called bones while he's alive? Neshalom Micha Bekvodav. It's because he did not make a macha'a when his father was, when they were mevaza, his father in front of him. To Ka'amrilei, because his brother said to him, Avdicha Avinu, Velomer Velomidi, and he just let that pass, that his father was called his Eved, and he didn't say anything. Why did Yosef predecease his brothers? Because he was a political leader, and that brings a person to an early grave. The Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma, Amr Blazer Al Tikri Hurad, you shouldn't read it as Hurad, Ella Horid, that Shahorid it stagnini paro migdulasan, that Yosef brought down the stagninim, the stargazers of Paro, from their perch when he interpreted Paro's dream, and they didn't know how to interpret it. Veikne Potiphar's first Paro, and he was purchased by Potiphar, Paro's officer. Amrav shekanao laatzmo, he bought him for himself. He thought Yosef was very beautiful, and he wanted to commit arayos with Yosef. But Gavriel Upiro, Gavriel came and was Mesaris him. Meikara Ksiv Potiphar, so Potiphera, that originally is called Potiphar, and then he has a more feminine name because he lost his masculinity because Gavriel was Mesaris him. Is a Malach allowed to do that? It's a Nisr in the Torah to be Mesaris. I guess maybe Malach are allowed to do Nisr in the Torah? Horasha? I don't know. Milanu Gadol Mimoshe. He said, who's Gadol Mimoshe? Then Moshe Rabbeinu was Nisasek HaKadosh Baruch was Nisasek in Moshe Rabbeinu. After Moshe Rabbeinu asked Gontar Yisrael, Vayomer Hashem Elai Ravlach. Hashem said, Ravlach, Al Tosef Daber Elai Od Badavar Hazeh. So what does it mean, Ravlach? Amar Rabbi Levi, the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu used that phrase is Berav Biser. It was with Rav that they told the Bnei, that they informed the Bnei Levi by the Machlokas of Korach, Berav Bisruhu. So with that same Lashon, the news came in Hashemayim about his desire to enter Yisrael. Berav Biser, Ravlach B'nei Levi, the pasuk said, "Barav Bisru, Rav Lach to Moshe Rabbeinu." Davar Acher, another interpretation, Rav Lach, it's not an Onesh, Rav Yeshlecha Umanu Yoshua, that there's another leader that's ready to go, and his name is Yoshua, so you're going to have to step aside now. Davar Acher, Rav Lach, Shalayomru HaRav Kamakasha V'Talmud kamasarva. Now people shouldn't say that the Rav is so. I mean, don't stop asking me, because people shouldn't say that the master, meaning the Ribono Shel Olam, is so difficult and is so stubborn, and that the Nebuch the Talmud is begging and begging. V'kol kach lama, why wouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow Moshe Rabbeinu to enter into Eretz Yisrael? Why was the chet of the main Moriva so serious? So Tanya Ben Rishol, fungam l'shichna, based on the camel, that's how much of a heavy burden you could put on it. Based on the tzidkus of Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's medaktik, kuchut asara, with tzadikim. So on the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's death, v'yirmalem ben meyav esrim shana anuchi hayom. Shein tam lomar yom. Why does it say hayom? Hayom, lo yom, ay vishnosai. It was his 120th birthday. L'lamed chosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mashim shosem shal tzadikim, miyom liyom, chodesh lechodesh, tuxiv, es mispar yamecha amale. That tzadikim live to, they die in their birthdays. Lo chal od latzeis v'lavo, may latzeis v'lavo. What does it mean? He's no longer able to latzeis v'lavo. Ilim latzeis v'lavo, mamish, it means literally to walk. V'aksiv Moshe ben Meyav, esrim shana ben Moso, lo naslacho. He didn't lose any of his vigor. Ksiv, ayal Moshe me'arvos mo'av el har, v'tayin yishtem esrim alasoy yisham. There are 12 steps of son Moshe ben Psiachas. Moshe Rabbeinu took 12 steps at one shot. Some Rav Shobar Nachmani, Yom Rav Yonasan, latzeis v'lavo b'divrei Torah. M'lam yishtem statin menu shari chachma, that he lost the shari chachma, the ability to converse in Torah. V'ayach Moshe v'yashuv v'yasiatz v'bal no'i tana os Shabbos shel Dio Zugi Haisa. That was a Shabbos where there were two manhigim, Moshe and Yeshua were both. Nitl Rishus Mizev and Nitl Lezet. Started with Moshe Rabbeinu and ended with Yeshua. Amar Yehuda, il mali mikro kasu v'yev shalom. If not for the Pasuk saying it, we couldn't say it. Heichon Moshe meis, where did Moshe die? B'chelko shel Ruvain. D'chsiv, v'yal Moshe me'ar v'smo, v'l har nevo. V'nevo b'chelko shel Ruvain kaima. D'chsiv, v'nev Ruvain b'no v'es nevo. So you see that was in chelko of Ruvain. V'heichon Moshe cover b'chelko shel God, and he's buried in chelko shel God. D'chsiv, v'yar reish yislo. U'mechelko shel Ruvain and chelko shel God kaima havi arbo amilin. That's 4 mil away. Osn arbo amilin mi holicho. M'lam yishay Moshe mutav l'kanfei shechina. That it was the shechina itself that took Moshe Rabbeinu to his kavura. Okay, but we'll continue with the discussion of Moshe's kavura with the Malachi Asharis tomorrow. Everyone have a good night, a good yantif.